Show. Yeah! Everyone, please welcome to the stage, best known for Sonny with a Chance and 17 Again, Sterling Knight! Yeah! Best known for Big Time Rush and Zoe 101, Aaron Sanders! From Shake It Up, Kenton Duty! From Big Time Rush, Tanya Chisholm! The sexiest man on stage, from Glee and Wizards of Waverly Place, Josh Sussman! From Shameless, Shammy Hanratty!
Sammy!
Let's do that one again, because I said it wrong. From Shameless, Sammy Hanratty! So sorry I called you Shammy Hanratty.
Hey, I won't take it personally, don't worry, okay?
Shamwell Hanratty.
I did it right on the first take.
Fine. You did fine. Okay, so let's continue down the road. Josh Sussman, first big job. Let's do Wizards of Waverly Place. That's a huge show, right, guys?
Yeah.
Wizards?
Oh, I was going to start with Drake and Josh to have the same answer as Sammy. Because we have similar careers, our path. We started the same place, and now we're here.
Yeah.
But I know Drake and Josh was awesome because I didn't have to talk in the audition. I was just mumbling. They somehow hired me, and I was so excited. And what was exciting about that, that was the first thing I did where they invited me back, because before then, I would do commercials, and then I'd be unemployed after the job. But this was the first place they were like, we like you. We want you to come back. And then that happened again on Wizards of Waverly Place. I was hired for one episode. And I guess if you show up early and they are polite, they invite you for more. That's the moral of that story. I got to be a wizard. It's a good life. It's a good life.
I love it. That's amazing. Kenton Duty, what about you? What about first job, first big job?
All right, well, for your parents, it was Lost. Because I control the world, essentially. Yeah. We all learned in that show.
What are you talking about?
I'm Jacob, man.
Were you the kid with
yeah.
the... What?
Yeah, I killed my own brother, bro.
Are you serious?
I threw him into the light.
Oh, my God.
Like a little bug. And then he became smoke.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the moral of the story, don't mess with your brothers.
That is amazing.
No, yeah, so Lost, that was awesome. Holy and while crap. I was shooting Lost, I was doing the pilot for Shake It Up. So I had already shot my first episode of Lost. So ABC, and this was before ABC and Disney had started their merger. So at the time, there was the joke going around that I was part of the reason they were having to merge, is just to get the schedules aligned.
Right.
Because they were flying me to Hawaii so I could shoot Lost, and then flying me back so I could go shoot Shake It Up. And then during this, they also bought Marvel and ESPN and all these other things now. And Disney's huge.
Oh, my God.
The mouse has all.
Yeah, the mouse has everything now.
Oh, it's all mine.
That's a solid impression. And also very, very terrifying. Tanya, how did you end up getting cast on... I know before you did Big Time Rush, you were in the movie High School The Musical...
Two, yeah.
Yes. How did you end up getting cast in High School
yes.
Musical 2? How'd that happen?
You know, I auditioned for it. And then...
Great story,
no, I
Tanya.
I auditioned for it.
My God.
Actually, my first job was on, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was on CW's Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
And I played like the very opposite of who I am, like this gal who had her head shaved and like wanted to destroy fraternities. And I was like totally in a sorority. So that was my very first job, but then I got High School Musical 2 and I look a lot younger than I am.
Yes.
And so I had no idea that High School Musical was this big thing. Like I just shot, I went out and shot the movie, and then I went to the premiere at Disneyland, I was like, oh my gosh, everyone loves this, like millions of people. I was so surprised, because no one in, you know, I think I was like, what, 25 or something?
Oh my God.
And I had no idea. So yeah, from there, I auditioned for Big Time Rush, and I booked it. I actually auditioned.
Were you one of the first people cast, or when were you cast in that?
I have no idea, because I had my callback, and the network callback, like 4 months before they actually called me to say that I booked the show. And my character was really just supposed to be like a character for one or two episodes, but then they liked me, and then they just kept bringing me back. So then I was a series regular.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was amazing. True and weird story. So Tanya, you were in the table read for Big Time Rush pilot, right? For the pilot, the original pilot with
different
the different
Gustavo.
Kendall. Different Kendall and different Gustavo.
Kendall, yeah.
That's right.
And they did this table read, and after the table read, they were like, this show is great. We are firing the Gustavo. Like,
and the main character,
and
Kendall.
It was, that was Thursday. They auditioned me Friday, I got cast Saturday. We started shooting Monday.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember Steven like walked.
It was
the first time
bad.
I saw you, you were walking through the Paramount lot. I think you had like a bag of chips. Like wandering with this like beautiful smile on your face, like a child that's wandered into a film and has no idea what's going on. He was so happy.
Oh, we got, hey, there he is.
Sterling Knight, everybody. Mother of pearl. Sterling Knight, look at that frickin' beard. Holy crap.
I'm very sorry, but I did play a narcissistic douchebag on Disney, so I wanted to be last to walk up here.
Understandable. Understandable. Yeah. Would you tell we're just telling people how we got cast in some of these roles. How did you end up over at Disney?
I don't know.
What was that getting cast like, and what was the beginnings of that like for you?
Okay, well, so I had auditioned for the, because originally, so this is a weird thing, I'll try and make it brief. So originally it was a completely different show, the premise was different, I was auditioning for a different character, the whole dynamic of the cast and the characters was completely and utterly different, and so I auditioned for it, and then they're like, that's cute, you're awful, bye. And then 4 months later, I got a call again, and they're like, hey, so we want to bring you back in, because we went around the country and no one else was any good either. I was like, okay, cool.
Oh my God.
Makes sense.
That's disheartening.
Oh yeah.
That's standard, right?
Yeah.
So you know, you go back into the process, and then finally, when you get to the screen test, it was like everybody and their mother was there, quite literally their mothers were there. But like Lucas Till auditioned for my character, as did some other guy, I can't remember his name.
List all the guys you beat out, just name one by one. Tell us all the
screw them.
Right, no, so
this dude.
It was pretty much everybody that got on another Disney show or another Nickelodeon show was there up for the same part. So everybody essentially that was there at the screen test ended up working. So mazel tov.
Damn.
But yeah, so you go into this weird conference room and there's 20 people. And everybody wants to laugh, which is always good. Friendly rooms are great. And then, you know, you fall on the floor and roll around and make some fart jokes. And then you wait for a phone call.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's kind of it. The best thing was, though, after we shot the pilot, I was in Texas with my family. And found out that I got a phone call. And they're like, hey, so the show's going to series, but we're not picking up your option because the character doesn't work. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. So I like the show got picked up, but I got fired. And then we made a phone call to Disney and told them that I was getting offered a part on Big Time Rush, which I wasn't.
Oh my God, what?
Yeah, buddy, that was for you.
This is a great story.
We lied to the mouse. As you do.
You're teaching the kids great values.
Listen, it's
lying,
important.
You get exactly that's what you awesome. Want.
I think it's important to know.
Yeah. Make your dreams come true.
That's it. So we told them that I was going to get an offer on this thing, and they're like, oh, we're going to write in this part. And so that's how Chad Dylan Cooper happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Aaron Sanders,
hello,
please
Blackman.
Tell these wonderful people how you got cast on, how about Zoe 101? How you got cast on Zoe 101?
Why, thank you. I feel like I was such a little baby back then. I was 12 years old when I first went out for Zoe 101. And originally I was going out for the Nicole character, who was around for just 2 seasons? Does anyone remember that role? The Quinn character didn't exist at all. It wasn't a thing yet. And so I went to maybe 3 or 4 auditions for the Nicole character. And after that point, they told me that they were writing a new role and they wanted me to come read for it, but that there was no material. They wanted me to literally just come and do the exact same thing I'd been doing the entire time. and didn't tell me anything about this new character, but just told me that I was going in for somebody different. And when I got to that final, maybe second to last audition, I was the only person going for this other character. I found out later that they actually wrote the character for me, which is incredible. Thank you. It's like hilarious and wonderful. And the reason it's hilarious is because they, like, if anyone, like, how many of you know the Queen character, know what she's like? Yes. So she, I mean, is so independent and amazing and also just like really quirky and wacky, will like, you know, cut off someone's hair in the middle of the night to test their DNA to make some exhibit or whatever. And keep in mind that they met me going out for like some preppy boy crazy girl character and were like, you know what, we should write an entirely different insane character for someone who conducts experiments on all her friends at all hours of the day, and it's gonna be this girl who is just that way in life, gives us that feeling. Like, I get this feeling from this 12-year-old girl that she could be this person. So I was like equal parts just utterly flattered and delighted, and also like, that's weird that that's the vibe I give off, but I'm just going to roll with it.
I love that. That's so great.
Thank you.
That's so amazing. Come on. That's amazing.
I feel like one thing that contributed to that vibe was at one of the final screen tests, one of the producers was going down the line asking us each our age, and then at the end, for like a joke, was like, and tell me what all of those are added up together. And I was like, and then spit out the number. And they were like, and I'm like, that was a joke, right? No. Cool. I'm just here doing math in a screen test. No big deal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that.
Thanks.
That's amazing. That's great.
Thank you.
Super weird, but true thing. For the audition for Gustavo, my manager called me and said, hey, I was working. Okay, just to give you an idea, I was working at a perfume factory.
Wow.
Yeah, I was working.
He also
doing,
for witches.
I was doing stand up really at night. And
it was
during,
perfume for witches, by the way.
It was a, thank you. It was a perfume for witches. It was called the Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab.
I'm just like imagining you coming out with your own fragrance right now.
They had one with my face on it.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. It was like a werewolf scent. This is not a joke. And it was called the Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab. And I would work there during the day, and I was terrible at my job. I got fired from that job at that perfume factory 5 times. Every time I'd get fired, my friend who owned the place would just go, just let him keep working here. Just let him do something else. And so I went from like being like the guy who packaged everything for the mail, and then I kept sending things to the wrong addresses.
Oh,
or like I at one point they had a paper shredder. They had put me on paper shredder duty.
You didn't
where
do
I would
it
just
well.
Shred, and I ended up breaking how many printers? How many?
I don't know.
4 printers. I am not good at regular jobs. I'm bad at it.
That's the only reason actors are actors,
yeah,
because we have
zero other
life skills.
We got no other skills. That's what we're good at.
Do you think anyone would be masochistic enough to like go cry and emote and roll on the ground in front of strangers over and over again? That's what auditioning is, by the way,
like,
guys.
If you could be a doctor, be a doctor. Don't do this. This is insane.
I think the fact that 2 of our panelists have mentioned rolling around on the ground as an audition thing proves the fact that that's actually true.
That's a real thing that really happens.
I blacked out in my screen test for Gunther.
No, you did not.
And yes, I did.
Oh my God.
This is actually a story. My screen test, I did not dance before the show. Yeah, shocker. And they go, can you do anything? Because obviously what I brought in as my audition piece was not good enough dancing. And so, can you do anything else? And I go, well, I could do a handstand if I have wall support, you know, throwing a bone.
It's
and they're like,
impressive.
Okay, go for it. And so a room full of adults in suits watched me go down a little too fast, hit my head in the wall, and then face plant on the ground. And I came to 15 seconds later to a room full of adults going, oh God, do we call the fire ambulance?
Oh.
Never happened before.
Oh my God.
And I go, I'm fine. And they go, okay, well then you can leave. And Stephanie Scott, who was auditioning she was the original Tink at the time before Caroline. And Stephanie Scott walked out ahead of me, walked to her mom in the lobby and said, well, that didn't go well. And so then I followed back through and my father was waiting for me and he went, so? And I went, ah. Well, I knocked myself out. Knocked it out of the park. You'd say, Dad. Anyway, but that's how mine went.
Oh my God. What's Josh? What's your worst audition story? Do you have any bad audition stories?
Well, just the waiting rooms are so weird. And believe it or not, when I'm in the waiting room, I'm in a waiting room with some of the most socially awkward, weird people.
No way.
And I see them.
What?
At all of my auditions.
I don't believe that.
And then I ask myself, I hope I'm not that weird. I'd like to think I come off. But no, there's, and some of them, because their social skills are so poor. I've had been in waiting rooms where they're reading their resume out loud. Like, yeah, I remember when I was in that. And they're trying to intimidate you, and somehow it works. And, like, I would never, in the waiting room, I don't really like to, I just, I'll have small talk, but it's just so weird, and I have the people, I'm going to get this part over you, and it's, I think maybe most people think that, but who says that?
Oh, my God.
There was one audition where there was a guy who told them, he came out of the room, he said, I told them you're going in next. I told them to be gentle with you.
Oh,
my God. What?
And that was a show called War and the Ape, which I ended up booking a series regular on. So you never know.
It's a good thing they went gentle on you.
Very gentle.
Yes, no. I guess I owe this guy a thank you.
Write him
a card. If he didn't say that, I don't know what would have happened.
You know, Josh, you know Daniel Franzese from Mean Girls? He played the guy, what was the character's name? The gay best friend character. Him and I went. What? Damien. Him and I went in for the show Workaholics to audition to play Adam's gay boyfriend on the show, and I auditioned and I got a lot of laughs and I came out and he was in the waiting room and he goes, wait a second, aren't you straight? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh God, and just walked away. And I was like, I'm such a huge fan. And I was just like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh my God.
And then I booked it. And then I saw him like months later and he went, yeah, congrats. And like, wouldn't speak to me. And it took like literally 2 years. And now we're friends. And now he's done our show like twice. And
oh my God.
I love him. But it was like, it was the first.
Did you talk about that experience?
I've never talked to him about it.
You haven't talked about it?
No, I was too. I was like, I just felt so bad.
I'm shocked that's not the first thing you talked about when he came on your show.
No, I didn't mention it. I was too nervous. I was too nervous.
I get that.
Because I didn't want to like remind him. Oh, I booked
it. Like maybe he forgot is what you're hoping.
No, the other guy that
he doesn't listen to this.
The other guy that I go in with that we've been seen for like all the same parts is Quinn Aaron from The Blind Side. The big football player from The Blind Side.
Unforgettable. I know who that guy is.
He's that guy who weighs the same as Steven?
We're the same size.
That's how casting directors see you.
Yeah, they go, you're definitely that guy. That's definitely the same.
Steven, I just got here. LA Comic Con, the booth looks amazing.
First of all,
it's so professional. You have these big banners. You have the posters. You have the stickers. Everything is set up. You have those postcards, all the different stuff. How'd you get it to look this good that fast?
I'll tell you what, you know, we really did not have a lot of time to pull this thing together, and it came together so beautifully. And a lot of that really has to do with Overnight Prints. Overnightprints.com did 4,000 posters for us. And 1,000 postcards, and people have been lining up to get these posters.
How
and
quick did they do those?
Within a few days, they were able to turn around. I mean, overnight, they can do them overnight. We knew that we had a little more time, so we sent them all sorts of stuff. But they
so the posters we've been giving out these movie quality, like high quality looking posters.
Yeah,
they did those that fast.
Yeah, they did them overnight.
If you needed a movie quality poster tomorrow, you could have that in your hands.
Absolutely.
Nice.
And the prices on them are completely insane. If you use code NIGHTTIME, NIGHTTIME, posters are like $1.99 each. Postcards are 500 4x6 for $19.85. And site-wide, you can save up to 91%. That's
so
a crazy deal.
You can bring them whatever you designed.
Yeah.
Get it put on a poster. they'll have it to you within a day or two or what?
Yeah, because they're overnight. It's overnight prints.
Oh, so the whole thing is done overnight.
Done overnight.
Just upload the artwork and you got posters the next day.
What's really crazy is, too, it's like when you're trying to get more fans and new fans and introduce, you know, new fans to your project, and this is our passion project. That's what Nighttime Show is. So, you know.
But we want it to look as good as possible.
We want it to look as good as possible. So when you have people coming to our booth go, what is this? What's going on? And you go, here's these gorgeous posters. Every single person wanted one.
Well, yeah,
so.
And I've noticed there's all this competition, all these booths going, doing all sorts of stuff, lots of babes and whatnot all over the place.
Yeah.
And it still looks amazing.
Yeah, no, this place is the best. But you overnightprints.com, you got to go check them out. Overnightprints.com, overnightprints.com. All right, back to the show.
Let's keep going. Sammy, worst audition story. Any bad audition stories?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've been doing this for, like, 17 years. There's been a lot. Yep. Okay, I'll spitball some of them. So, like, one was in the waiting room, and it was really awkward. It was actually at, like, a commercial audition. You know the one above Petco when you'd go to commercial auditions?
Oh,
uh-huh. Yeah, we all know. Okay, I know. Did you just get, like, hit with, like, PTSD? You guys are like, what? I sat on chocolate by accident in the car, and I guess it had melted on my pants, and I didn't realize. So I go into the audition, and my mom's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, did you poop your pants? And I was like, no. And I was like, what? So I go to the bathroom and I see it. And I'm like, so I get a piece of like toilet paper or like whatever. And I wet it to try and like get it off the pants. No. And this girl walks in. She goes, oh, you're the girl from Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, are you okay?
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, it's chocolate, you know? And I'm like shaking. And so that was really embarrassing. And then I've just, like, had, like, bad, like, auditions where it's, like, I'll be in a very dramatic audition, you know, crying and whatnot. And then, like, I've had, like, casting directors take phone calls in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, there's nothing worse than that. If you've seen La La Land, like, it's no joke. Like, that kind of stuff, it's not a joke. Like, it happens all the time. So, but I still think the poop story is probably one of the worst, in my opinion. It's, like, yeah, it still makes me, like, feel awkward.
Did you get it all off before the audition?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I had to throw the pants out.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah, that's rough. I want to ask everybody on this panel, what's the worst time that you've been recognized? Like, when... But I still want to ask you, though, Sterling. Like, worst audition. Worst audition.
Okay. Geez, there's so many to choose from. You know what? It was probably my audition for Big Time Rush. Which
really?
Was hilarious that I used that to my advantage. So I went in and, like, you know, I did the acting part of the audition, and they're like, oh, okay, like, you're not, like, unfunny. Cool, yeah. Come back. I was like, all right, great. So then there's the singing part of the audition, right? So they called a smaller group of us into a studio, and we had to sing an NSYNC song.
Wow.
It's fine. Classic. I'm born in 89. Like, I'm with it. I know the song. So I do, like, a recording of the song. And the guy, the producer just goes, can you just... just do better.
Oh. Oh.
Wow.
My God.
That's constructive. That's a note I can take to heart and really, you know, adjust my performance to give you what you want better. So that was fun. I didn't end up booking that. Shocking. So apparently I just don't do a very good Justin Timberlake impression. That was a fun one, I thought.
I love that.
So my worst audition story, I do really well at all my auditions. I've had one time where I blanked on the words for Grey's Anatomy, but I was like, what is happening to me? But my first audition, the first thing that I booked was on Veronica Mars. And so the script was like very much like, you know, my character had been raped and I need to shut down the fraternity houses. And it's a very, like, rah type. And I was wearing this romper. And the gal, so usually in audition is a casting director, and then the casting director assistant who comes out and gets you and brings you back. And she brought me, so she walked out with him. She was like, you did such a great job, but your breast is showing.
No!
No!
My romper was, like, over this way. So I was doing the the whole audition with like my boob out, which
my
is,
God.
If you know me, pretty classic Tanya. But it was so embarrassing. I was
you
like,
should have been like, yeah, I was playing a
why
feminist.
Couldn't you like, have told me like, this before? It sealed the deal. I mean, I booked the part.
That's so fantastic.
That's so I
yeah, like maybe if you put your breast back in your shirt, this wouldn't be an issue.
So you're telling us we should rip our boobs out and then we'll book more jobs.
When in doubt. When in doubt.
I had an audition recently.
I know.
I had an audition recently for like a Nickelodeon. No, it was a Disney show.
Was your breast out?
And my breast was out. And I was driving to the audition and I was going through the dialogue and it was to play, and this is so bad, it was to play a professional ice skater and I'd have to wear a full body leotard.
Yes.
And I'm driving there and my manager texts me the day rate for how much it was, what I was going to get paid, and it was terrible. It was so bad. And I'm driving there and I'm just like running my lines. I get to a red light and I just go, no! No! And I just made a U-turn and drove home.
What?
I was like, I can't do it today. I can't do it today. And I just turned around and drove home. It's like, not today, God. Not today. So, because sometimes, like, you have to get in the headspace to be like, yeah, I can, of course I can be in a leotard and jump around. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I want to play something totally embarrassing and stupid. And then other times you're like, nope. Not today. Not happening.
What sucks is that's the job you like definitely would have booked.
Right, I know. That's
like, that one would have changed
that's
your life.
You're like, oh God, yeah. I can't. Yeah. There are times.
It's like there's so many ways to be humiliated in an audition.
Yeah.
Like accidental partial nudity.
I had to strip. I had to, for a Kevin Hart movie. I had to strip down to my underwear for it. And Ice Cube was in the room.
Wow.
And I had to stand there almost completely naked. It was for the movie Ride Along.
That's intimidating.
Yeah.
And it was so gnarly. And I stripped down and I had to run around the room in my underwear screaming and yelling. And I went full, well, you know.
I love how we started with Disney and Nickelodeon and this is where we've ended up.
Yeah, it's a weird business.
Dark.
It is a dark.
Yeah,
business.
I had an audition where I didn't have any lines. I was just the guy the girl swipes left on. And it's for a commercial, and I'm talking to this girl who we're getting along real well, we're talking, we exchange information, and then she's the girl who swipes left on, so I feel like that's humiliating. But I guess I should be happy I didn't get the part.
Wow.
But it sucks going in for those parts, but it's all a job, you gotta make a living.
I once had an audition at HBO for Morbidly Obese Ugly Guy.
Oh, God.
And I got to the audition, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and there's these fucking monsters in this room. Guys that are like 2.5 of me across, just these massive guys. And they go, Phil, you're in next. And this guy stands up, and I think I heard his ankle crack as he stood. And then he hobbled across the room into the audition. And I was like, what is my life? And then I finally went into the room and they went, no, you're not right for this. And I went, thank you so much. And I started crying.
And then they were like, wow, this guy's an amazing actor.
Yes, absolutely.
Steven, Aaron, I have to ask you, was that the loudest waiting room you've ever been in?
Oh, God. Well, just breathing. Just listen.
Like, just.
Yeah, it was rough. Aaron Sanders, worst audition.
I feel like I have just had so many auditions where you have to bawl your eyes out. I don't know, again, if it's like a vibe I give off that I'm just like very vulnerable and get victimized often. But I mean,
sure.
I've been like sad pregnant girl, sad dying girl, sad girl whose dad is dying or is dead, sad girl who was sexually assaulted, like all the sad girls. And just like crying in front of so many strangers is really weird. It just never gets like easy or good. Like it never feels good. Cause I mean, people say that they can just physically make themselves cry without an emotional response. And that's amazing and more power to them. But that's not me. I have to just think about the most sad things that could possibly happen. And then just like extra sad because my body knows that I'm trying to make myself sad. And it's like, don't do that. Why would you want to not be happy right now?
And I just remember going out for more than one audition where I'm like already bawling my eyes out. And they're like, we need you to do that again, but just like more. And I'm like, I don't know how I can do more. There's already like an ocean pouring out of my eyes. And yeah, I can't be sadder than this. I'm already picturing everyone I love burning alive in a house. And there's like literal ocean pouring out of my face. And I don't know what else you want. I think you just like watching children cry. So, you're in the right profession.
That was for Barney, I believe, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Barney show.
The ripe young age of three.
Yeah, exactly. Let's.
Good thing I could conceive of death already. So healthy.
That's so funny. We should take questions from this wonderful audience. Who has questions? Raise your hand. Ask the question. I will repeat it so that we can be heard. Yes, blue hair. Yes. Yes, Sterling. Okay, so the question was... The question for Sterling was, what was the NSYNC song that he sang in his audition, and can he do a small impression of it for these wonderful people?
Okay. The song was... Stop it. That's already better than what's about to happen. What was the name of the song? It's you guys gotta help me out because I'm terrible with.
It's gotta be me.
No, I wish it was that. I wish it was that.
I want it that way.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, the really slow guitar and the thing and this. Hold on, I'm gonna pull up the lyrics because I can't remember.
You are by fire.
That's bad. Yes.
Well, that's Backstreet Boys.
Wrong. Bad team.
All right. I'm so sorry.
I want it. When.
Tell me
I'm really glad that there's not a camera back here, so we can't do the Kanye thing of like, oh, there's your passcode. That's Backstreet Boys too.
I know, I'm just saying it's fun.
You just belt it out.
It is.
Backstreet.
I
know, I got my camera.
What is? Okay, I promise I will do it. Someone else ask a wonderful question while I prepare my moment.
It would have been so weird.
Killed it. Yeah. Should cast you as new Kendall.
I should have played new Kendall.
Yeah. He has the best voice.
We're having somebody else.
He needs someone else. Okay, someone else ask a question. Yes, up front. Absolutely not.
Definitely.
No. Of course.
Hey, Steven, can you repeat the question? So
yes, the question was, do we still talk to the Big Time Rush boys? And I said, no, we do not.
No,
we do. We do, constantly. I do. I don't know about you guys. I'll say James was recently
rub
on
it in our faces.
James was on the nighttime show recently. We went to his house and interviewed him in his house, and it was super cool. It was right after he did Big Brother. Kendall has been on nighttime show like four times. He was in the original pilot with Tanya when we first did it, which is super fun. Logan's been on the show, and Logan and I still hang out pretty regularly. And Carlos is the only one I have only seen once since we wrapped because he had a baby and he got married, had a baby, and then he moved to Hawaii. He lives in Hawaii.
I did not even know that. I knew about the baby. I knew about the wife.
I went to Hawaii and I couldn't see him when I was there. So like sometimes we talk a little bit, but it's hard. It's tricky because they're far away.
Yeah, I've talked to them a few times. I actually saw Kendall last week in yoga.
Randomly,
we were like, like in the mirror, like.
Oh my God.
In yoga with his girlfriend. I text back and forth with them sometimes, not as much. I think Glickman is.
We're close. We're super close.
Yeah, I've run into Kendall at my rock climbing gym as well. I guess the moral of the story, he's the most physically active
of the boys.
Of the guys.
Fun fact, James, I never got to be on Big Time Rush, but I did get to work with James Maslow. He played my brother and my lover on a Lifetime film. So there you go. He went from Big Time Rush to incest.
Oh my God. So, wow, that's weird. Really?
Brother and lover in the same film.
The same movie.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? Just a fun way of connecting this all together, of how we all know each other. So the three of us were on a TV show together. this guy and me did a Beggin' Strips commercial together.
Can you say who
together.
It is you're pointing to?
Yes,
because people at home don't know. Thank you.
Kenton Duty and Aaron Sanders were in with Leon Thomas and Jesse Hyman and Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
We were all in a Beggin' Strips commercial together, which was super, super weird.
Weird
and,
day. A lot of dogs.
And a bunch of dogs. And
a lot of balloons.
They all pooped
in the kitchen at the same time. And it was a real living nightmare.
It started with one, and then they all just went, ah, this shit.
Literally.
Josh Sussman, I know Josh because Tanya.
We have the same manager.
They've been friends forever, and so they introduced me to Josh. Josh introduced me to Corey Monty from Glee, who I became super close friends with and then passed, which is horribly sad. But I owe Josh hugely for that friendship, and I love Josh.
We were
Josh.
Neighbors at Paramount. They were doing Big Time Rush while we were doing Glee. That we first met on the same studio lot, which is cool, in the commissary. We had lunch many a times.
And then Sammy and Tanya and I have all worked together, like, teaching and coaching and stuff for kids.
Yeah.
And then down there, Sterling Knight and I met because we were both judges at a chili cook-off.
Yes, we were. The Texas X's chili cook-off.
How weird is that?
That should be a rom-com.
It should.
And you guys should play yourselves in it.
Yeah. And Steven, I know you because I made you cry.
Yeah, Matt Walker down at the end made me cry. Give him a round of applause.
Hey.
In a mean way. Yeah, he tried to bring me up to the stage while we were doing stand-up comedy, and I was brand new to stand-up, and he said, this guy Fat James. He was like, is Fat James here? Oh, he's not. Well, where's Fat Steve? Let's get Fat Steve up here. And I went, ugh! And I ran to my car, and I cried in my car, and I texted him from my car going, please don't call me Fat Steve. I'm very sensitive of my weight. Please don't call me Fat Steve. This is 10 years, this is 15 years ago. And he texted me back and he said, you don't have the right to be.
Here's what I said. I said, did I hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
If you want to be a comedian, you don't get to have feelings anymore.
Whoa. And I went.
That's true. If you haven't noticed, being an actor involves a lot of crying alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of degradation.
And then I read his text aloud on stage.
But that was the first time anyone had called me a comedian. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah, I guess I don't have to be so sensitive if I'm going to be a comedian. And that's why, still to this day, I hardly ever cry.
Yeah.
Only it's once every other Thursday.
Yeah. He calls me crying every
Sterling,
Thursday.
Sterling, are we going to do this song? Are you going to sing it?
Yeah.
Sing it, sugar.
Okay.
Do you need another minute?
No.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember if this is the right song or not, but I'll just sing this one anyways. Because there was a guitar and it was slower than I wanted it to be, and it's Justin Timberlake with his really high voice, so this is close enough, I think. This is I Promise You by NSYNC and my best Justin Timberlake impression. I'm gonna have to close my eyes and get very boy bandy. Oh no, there's more. Yeah. When the visions around you bring tears to your eyes, and all that surrounds you are secrets and lies, I'll be your strength. I'll give you hope.
Ow.
Keeping your faith when it's gone. The one you should call, standing there all along. And I will take that whole thing.
Yeah!
Damn!
Oh, come on!
That's fantastic.
That's beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
He's secretly been practicing that since that audition every single day.
It's like someone will ask
me. I knew I was
going to
crush it. Yes. I knew it.
Hey, guys, we're here at LA Comic Con, and we're having such a great time. And one of the cool things that we've been able to do here is give away amazing stickers to everyone that's come through from StickerU.com. StickerU.com allows you to upload your logo or any artwork to the online editor, add text, borders, and order custom die-cut products from stickers to labels to decals, magnets, patches, badges, iron-ons. I mean, it's made for cons,
Now,
man.
These aren't those lazy stickers that you stick them somewhere and they droop off right away.
No, these are gorgeous, beautiful stickers.
Or the color fades real quick.
No. These are incredible stickers. They're top of the line. They're beautiful. And with StickerU.com, you can order any size, any shape, and any quality. Most
any
sticker guys,
size, any
yeah,
shape?
Any shape. We're talking, we have a sticker here that is absolutely enormous. Literally, I could stick it to you, and it could be your costume. Most sticker guys out there force you to buy like a minimum number of stickers or pages, but with StickerU.
I hate those guys.
Yeah, no, with StickerU.com, there's no minimum. All right, you can do literally just one sticker. It is, it's, there's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Wait
there's,
a second. If I just want one
you
sticker.
You can get one sticker of whatever you want in whichever way you want it. There's no setup cost.
Unbelievable.
Or die cut, die charges. Like the
there's
other
no
stickers.
Die charges?
No, there's no die charges like the other companies. It's really incredible stuff.
Making those other companies sound like jerks.
They are jerks. Sticker use technology automates everything. And the moment you check out, your custom manufacturing process is initiated. How about
I
that?
I love when things are initiated.
Me too.
That's my favorite.
When people think of ordering online, they think of ready-made products that are boxed up, shipped out as soon as the order transaction is completed. But StickerU is way cooler because everything's at your fingertips, and you can literally you could go on your phone, you can do it on your phone, you can do it on your computer. You got to check it out, and it goes right. It's literally to your specifications. So
literally,
literally. Not figuratively, but literally. So if you're around, if you come to our shows, we're going to have stickers for you because these stickers are amazing. Check them out, guys. They're awesome. And whether you need new stickers for your laptop, skateboard, or as handouts at an event, or you're coming to an awesome con like LA Comic Con, this is the thing to do. You need to check them out. StickerU.com. That's right. StickerU.com. StickerU.com.
StickerWho.com?
StickerU.com. Hey, so here's a fun thing. This is Cora. Everyone say hi to Cora.
Woo!
Everyone together. Hi, Cora.
Hi, Cora.
All right, so Cora has these cool little, they're little pins. They're nighttime show Gustavo Rock golden pins. And if you guys want one, they're $10. And there's also glow-in-the-dark nighttime show pins as well. She'll walk around. If you guys want one, just wave her down. We're going to take more questions. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's one on her. We got some up here. Raise your hand if you got another question. Yes, up front. The question was, it was a long question. But
it was a statement followed by a concise question.
Totally
really.
Kidding. I'm totally kidding. so the question was, what is your fondest memory of whatever show you worked on? I can start. I will start us off very quickly. My fondest memory of doing Big Time Rush was having every morning... having breakfast with everyone in our cast. We would all sit in our dressing rooms, which were across diagonal from each other, so we could all talk and screw around and sit with each other and eat breakfast. And having like a family here in Los Angeles of like fun people that I love and care about that we were going to be working together for years, it was my it's my favorite part. It was probably my favorite part, for sure.
It's really sweet. It's so heartfelt.
Yeah, that's true. Aaron, what about you?
I concur that some of my best experiences on every project are the people I get to meet. This is an unusual one, and it's like quite earnest. I remember when I was working on, total sidebar, when I was working on The Mentalist, I had to, shocker, cry a lot. And after many, many, many takes, my eyes were just dried out. And they tried using the, whatever it is, the cry stick that they like hold near your eyes, and it irritates them and makes them just like tear. And apparently my face doesn't respond to that. I never actually tried using it before. I tapped out. And the makeup artist came and sat with me and talked to me about the loss of her mother and just like spilled her soul to me. And this wasn't her job, and she didn't have to do this at all. And it helped me get to the emotional place I needed to keep going. And I feel like just the community nature of this industry is by far my favorite thing, because people often will step in and do things that are not really their job. But everyone's name goes on a project when it's done, and we all want it to be the best it can be. And like that has always stood out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. What about Tanya? What about you?
You know, I can't really remember like my fondest memory like on the show. I know a lot of like the concerts were really cool because you got to see so much of like the filming is very disjointed. So it's like you know, I'd say like maybe 70% of our scenes, Glickman and I, were not to the boys, but like to four pieces of tape on the, you know, on the camera. So it's very, it's not always very realistic, but a lot of the performances when you're all there together, you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like we're putting together this whole thing. But really for me, my fondest memories are just the feedback that I've gotten from people from Big Time Rush. And I know Glickman has gotten like a lot of messages too, but people have reached out and said, like, you know, your show was such a important and significant part of my childhood. Like I was going through like the divorce of my parents or like some other trauma or some hard thing that like watching the show and being able to laugh and kind of escape your own reality. Like the fact that I got to contribute to giving that gift to other people. And then at the same time, it was such a gift to myself because, you know, as a kid, I like always dreamed of being on Nickelodeon. Like for me, it was all that was like the show that really inspired me to want to do comedy and to want to pursue acting. So being able to do like my dream, that's like very difficult. And then also being able to contribute to someone else's like well-being and getting them through a hard time in their life is very, very significant to me.
You know, what's really weird is like, it was like 6 months ago, I said something in an interview where I said, I loved Big Time Rush because it was cool to like inspire people to get into the music business and into the movie business and stuff like that. But if I had my druthers, I would love to do a show, like a TV show, where we inspire people to, you know, do other things, like stand up for, you know, against bullying and be, you know, like do stuff that has like deeper storylines, like do some stuff about like cancer and families and like dealing with like health issues. And just like if we could do something that was that big and it could inspire people differently. And I said that, and literally I got like 400 messages on Instagram from people going, you don't understand, this show helped me through, you know, following my dream to become a chemist, because of this show, like it inspired me to follow this dream, or during my parents' divorce, or during this, or during that. Like it doesn't matter what the show is about. It's about what you put into it, and also like what you get out of it. You know, like you're not always making it for the exact reason that you think you're making it for. You know what I mean? Like that's it inspires people in different ways. I know like some of you guys have inspired people to move to America, which is completely insane. Like I've had run-ins with people who are like, oh, I watched Shake It Up, and because of watching Shake It Up, I moved to New York City. And you're like, what? Like from Czechoslovakia? What is going on here?
Because Gunther Hessenheffer was from a different country. For those of you that are like, what? He talked like this.
That makes sense.
And he wore leopard pants and all these things.
Yeah, can you do Gunter?
What about Kenton?
Hello, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Kenton, what about you? Happiest, fondest memory?
What I really liked with like Shake It Up is it was a sitcom. So it was multicam. We did live audiences for the entirety of my run there. After I had left the show, then I think they'd stopped doing a lot of live audiences for a lot of the shows. But while I was there, we had one every week. And so we would put in a little extra effort, too, to make sure we always had all of our filming pretty much done. So if something went wrong, which with a live audience, it basically turns the show into theater. And we're recording you guys just as much as we're recording us. And so, like, we would have stuff happen where you would hear a dad, like, go, oh, because of something happening on screen. And so then you'd turn, you'd be like, in the moment, you're like, do we keep going?
Yeah.
Or is that, because we all know that take's gone now, right? But stuff like that, like I guess I loved the interaction that brought, because I came from theater originally, and so being able to then meld those two worlds and have that happen was really awesome, and being able to talk with the audience afterward about, oh, I loved like seeing how that take happened, like, and then it changed because of whatever, what did they say to you? Cause, like it was great to be able to interact with people that were interested in the behind the scenes as well, too, because they'd never even witnessed it. So
wow,
it was fun.
That's amazing. Josh, what about you? Best memory on set?
One of my favorite memories is from Glee. It was during the 13th episode of season one, Sectionals. And let me tell you, Glee had very wonderful homemade chocolate chip cookies. They would go quickly. Once they come out of the oven, if you don't get to the table, they're gone. So me and Corey Monteith were doing a scene, and we knew, okay, let's nail this so we could get to the cookies. We're rushing to the table. When we get there, there's only one cookie left. So me and Corey, we look down at the table. We look at the cookie, look back at each other. And I remember Corey saying, Josh, you can have the last cookie. And that was really nice. And now I like to pay it forward. Now if I'm in a cookie situation, I do what Corey did. And I do have the last cookie. So that's a...
My God, you're so adorable. I just want to eat you.
Like the cookie.
Sammy.
Have you ever tried the Glee cookies? Did you ever sneak on to set?
Oh, I stole a lot of things from Paramount and from your set.
Golf carts.
And our set.
Constantly.
I stole Ryan Murphy's golf cart, and he got very upset. Sammy, you're up next.
Okay.
Best memory.
Oh, gosh. Fondest memory. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. I was trying to think about it, and it's like, oh, gosh. Okay. I'm stuttering now. Okay. I have so many amazing memories, but I have to say more of a recent thing would be last year. I had not worked for a while. And, you know, as an actor, you're like, oh, my gosh, when's my next job going to be? You know, and I was taking my classes and I'm doing all my prep work and whatnot. And my teacher, he goes, what do you want? Like, what do you want in this industry? What do you want in your career? And I was like, honestly, I just want to be on a show like Shameless. That's all I want. It's my favorite show, and I just want to be on a show like that. And, like, 2 days later, I get this audition, and then I had booked it. And it was one of those things where I was like, I was like, did I manifest this? Did this just, like, happen? Like, oh, my goodness. But it was just, it's been by far one of the biggest highlights in my career because it's a show that I genuinely love to watch myself and something that, like, I have looked up to these actors for so long. So to be able to work alongside of them, like, is just the most humbling, wonderful experience. So it's definitely been one of the biggest highlights and just something that I'm forever going to cherish by far. Yeah.
Nice.
Love that.
Sterling Knight, you are a blast here.
So this was right after season one of Sunny with a Chance. We were actually at the NBC lot on Jay Leno's old stage, and then it was actually Ellen used it after him, and so it's a really, really big sound stage. It's like the biggest on the NBC lot. And so all the cast members other than Demi, because she's entirely too busy for a human being, we all decided that we'll do a lock-in during season one. So we all stayed, like, we, like, snuck back into the studio lot, like, and ran amok inside the soundstage. And we didn't sneak in, but, like, we had some, you know, we had a little bit of approval, but not a whole lot. But, like, we talked to the crafty person, like, she left out some stuff for us. So, like, we had food and, like, we snuck in, you know, like, just a bunch of, like, movies and games and stuff. So we stayed up entirely way too late, like, running around the NBC soundstage when there's no one there. And that was just, like, that was a thing that I'll probably never do again. And that was pretty cool. And we all slept in our dressing rooms. So.
Oh, awesome. That's so great.
Really sweet.
I love that.
It's like a slumber party, yeah.
That's so fun. It was cool.
All right, so we got to wrap up, but here's what I'm going to tell you. You have a ticket in your hand. The ticket that was given to you, you can redeem at our booth, booth 302. We're all going to go take a walk over to the booth. Those tickets are redeemable for posters. We have these awesome, beautiful, glossy nighttime show posters, so you can come get one. Cora is going to be hanging out by the exit on your way out. If you guys want to get a pin, they're super cool, and they're awesome, and you're supporting the show. So don't forget to subscribe to the Nighttime Show podcast. Guys, from all the way from the right, Matt Walker, where can people follow you on the internet?
Just go to funnymatt.com, or if you're annoyed by me, let me know at mattwalkersucks.com. And be sure to check out the new Nighttime Show website. We just put it up at thenighttimeshow.com.
Absolutely. Sterling.
Yeah. At Sterling Knight, I think. There were lawyers involved. I'm pretty sure it's at Sterling Knight.
Good, yeah. Good. Sammy, where can people get you?
It's Instagram, at Sammy Hanratty. Twitter, at Sammy Hanratty. And I think that's it. Okay, your turn.
On Instagram, I'm Mr. Josh Sussman. And on Twitter, I'm Josh Sussman.
I love it.
I'm mainly Instagram nowadays, so it's just at Kenton Duty.
Wonderful. Tanya.
My home address is 5127. Just kidding. I'm on Instagram at tancandy, T-A-N, and the word candy.
Yeah, and I'm about to launch a fashion and faith blog. It's not up yet.
So
but,
great. Yeah. You've got to check it out. Erin, where can people get you?
For social media, I'm at Erin Zariah, which is my middle name. So it's E-R-I-N-Z-A-R-I-A-H. My website's erinsanders.com. Find me online. Say hey. If you took pictures or video, tag me. Tag all of
and
us.
And tag hashtag the nighttime show. The nighttime show. Hashtag the nighttime show.
The nighttime show.
Mike, where can people get you?
Sorry. At Mike Black Attack on all social media. And come down and see us in the booth. We're booth 302, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Booth 302. Guys, I'm at Stephen Glickman, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Glickman on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the Nighttime Show podcast on all social media apps. And if you live in Los Angeles, come to the Nighttime Show live at the Hollywood Improv. We have Worf, Michael Dorn from Star Trek The Next Generation on the December 17th show. November 17th show. Do not miss these shows. They are amazing. We've had everyone that you love on these shows. So come meet us in the booth, booth 302. Everyone stand up. Stand up. Give a big applause. Here we go. Ready?
The fucking nighttime.